Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Again, I'm glad to come to you here on LiveDeliverance.com, Blog Talk Radio. So we'll just go ahead and pray and get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, we're going to continue in the process of understanding walking in purpose. I'm going to look at most of the things that I'll do for a while here under that lens. And the title today is going to be a settled word, a confirmed word, and a God word. I'm going to break this one up into three parts, because if we don't understand the word or allow the word to be settled, then we will not be able to benefit from the word, because we'll still be questioning if God wants to do it, if I deserve it, and all of those type things. See, the devil, really, there is nothing new under the sun. So the enemy cannot come up with something. According to 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, and will, with the temptation, make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we want to talk about a settled word, a word that you don't argue with the Bible or the minister as if you don't you can't walk in that word. For some reason, that word is too big for you. Oh, glory to God. I would like for you to know, beloved, every promise of God is too big for you. That's why he asks you to be found in him. Okay, I'll say that again. Every word from God is too big for you. That's why God asks you to be found in him. Because the word is not too big for Jesus. He is the word. And he is interesting. He has the ability to meet you right where you are. That's what he did. God in the flesh came down to our size, our level of thinking, our level of belief. He downsized himself and his power so that we can touch him. We could not approach God in his fullness from the beginning. Because he told them, even though he had sanctified them, he told them that when they were in the mount, he said, don't you go and gaze upon him. Because if you look at him, that's the end of it. You'll be you will be thrust through with a spear. See, he told people that he loved, people that he was in covenant relationship with. He told Moses, he said, let me just tell you right quick, no man can see my face and live. Because holiness does not allow sin to approach it. But Jesus came down to us. See? And then he lives in us. So now the word that would have normally been too big for us, Jesus is able to bring that revelation from the Father through his life and sacrifice so that we can participate in it. I mean, I'm hoping that you can kind of see the great love wherewith he loved you. He didn't want to leave you in your mess. He wants you to allow him to live big on the inside of you so that he can show you the greatness that he's called you to. See, but we don't function in that because we are questioning whether or not we deserve it, whether or not we are holy enough. Again, I will say it slowly. You, every word from God is too big for you. That's why he asked you to be found in him. I say that and I think about if I'm found in him, then I have to make sure that I am consumed by him or be lost in his love. See, because in the second chapter of Galatians, he says, I'm crucified with Christ, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, I need to be found in him. See, this is going to be a peace that abides. You remember John 15, it says very clearly that if you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it'll be given you. Why? Because you are found in him. You know, the promises of God don't work too good just by proximity. They work best when you and the Word are one, when the Word abides in you, and you abide in the Word, that this becomes the first thing that you reach for. You no longer reach for revenge, you reach for the Word. Well, let's do it this way. You no longer reach for revenge. You reach for that which is promised. Okay, all right. Just so that we can kind of see these things. We're trying to get you to know a settled word, a one that has allowed the peace of the word has been allowed to abide. If I'm reaching for revenge, I am loosing myself, removing myself from a promise. When I'm trying to get revenge, I am living off of the past, off of an event that has already taken place. So I want you to get that. See, that's why God tells you stuff like, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But we'll go and we'll say, you know, I need to get them told. I need to do what I have to do to take care of me. See, and he's saying, no, you don't have to do that. What he wants you to do is to allow him to be all in all. See? We're going to have the ability tonight to hear about how to allow a word to be settled, that I'm not moved away from a promise, that I'm not soon moved. Okay? The Bible says that we're supposed to be trees, the planting of the Lord. A tree, last time I checked, a tree doesn't go from position to position. A tree is planted. And when we trust the Lord, when we are following his word, the Bible says that the blessed man, the one that is empowered to win, the blessed man is a man that is planted by the rivers of water. The man that is planted, Psalms 1, now just flip over there right quick. I want you to know these things, okay? Because if you don't know them, it's going to be impossible for you to do them or to gain benefit from them. See, because I'm not talking about a word that's heard. I appreciate faith comes by hearing, but you got to hear the scripture that you just have quoted. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. it does not become effective in your life just because you heard it one time. It comes by hearing and hearing. And the only thing that you hear would be the word of God. So you can't hear, unfortunately, I know we've tried this, you cannot hear the word of God and it be effective if you're also listening to the voice of another. Okay? According to what it says in Romans chapter 10:17, faith only comes this way. It comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Over and over and over. Meditating on the word day and night. Rehearsing it again and again and again. Saying what the word says so that you reach for that and that becomes your strength. Don't reach for how you feel. Don't reach for an emotional response. Reach for the word that's already settled. See? This is the first step, beloved, in understanding how to walk in purpose. Because I know we have thought that purpose and desire are the same thing. They are not. Purpose is given by God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then purpose does not change. The way you arrive at purpose can. I decide that I'm going to walk in the lust of my mind. I'm going to walk in the pride of life. The Bible tells us that these things are not of the Father, and that these things will pass away. So if it was purpose, which is born of God, wow, I'm giving you a lot of scriptures right here. They're just coming up this way. The Bible says in 1 John 5 that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It didn't say that which is born of God is changed by the world, is affected by the world. It says whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The word stays the same. The purpose stays the same. Your purpose is born of God. It doesn't change. The way you approach it could change. Because the way you approach a thing, as a man thinketh in his heart so easy, the way you approach a thing gives you access that God already has verified. See, if I'm going to try to do it my way, there is a way that seemeth right to a man. But the end of those ways are death and destruction. And so then we'll say, I'm trying to do the purpose of God. I'm trying to do the will of God. And I told my daughter over and over and over again, it didn't say a trier of the word is blessed. It said a doer of the word is blessed. See? You need to go back and hear the word over and over until it is rooted and grounded in your spirit. That you don't make a move without the word giving you license to go there. I mean, the children of Israel had to find that Moses prayed this prayer, and Moses was trying to get as close as he could. And he said, you know what, God, if your presence don't go with us, then we ain't going. You know, I don't even care how crazy they might think I am. If your presence doesn't go, I'm not moving. I have to have the power that only you provide so that I can accomplish the victory that only you provide. I don't need to go about establishing my own gospel, establishing my own righteousness. Why would he want me to establish my own righteousness when I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Why would he? It's evident then so that I understand. Did he not say that my righteousness is as filthy rags? So he doesn't want me to do it by my righteousness. Every promise of God is too big for me. That's why he's asking me to be found in him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into that place, into that strong tower, and they are safe. When I am in the place of righteousness, he says that if I walk uprightly, walk as righteous, then he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk that way. See, I'm trying to get you to understand that the promises of God are already established. There are paths that are preordained that we should walk in them. See, I don't have to go and establish anything. I need to submit to the word of God. I need to let that word be settled. Again, like a tree. There we go with Psalms 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. And this man, the blessed man, shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. This blessed man that is planted, he will bring forth fruit in his season. And this blessed man who is planted by the rivers of water will bring forth fruit, and his leaf will not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I mean, just look at the man that's planted, the man that is settled, the man that continues to hear the word of God over and over and let the faith that's necessary for the victory to be wrought in his life to be established. Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith that has been allowed to be settled on the inside of me. Faith that has already answered and addressed all of the conversations that I hear that would make me move. You know, the conversations that try to convince you that God will not come through for you, so you have to go and help yourself. You know how we have heard it said, God helps those that helps themselves. That's not in the Bible. He said, if you are willing and obedient, then you'll change your diet. You'll eat the good of the land. God gets more done with your obedience than he does with your sacrifice. See, it's not about sacrifice. Sacrifice speaks to works of the flesh. Things you did, things you didn't do, rather than walking in obedience, stating to God by your words and your actions that you're going to do it his way, that you're going to walk as those that have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Okay. See, when we know that we're called out of darkness, then we don't try to operate in a gray area. A gray area would represent a mixture of light and darkness. That's how we get to gray. God says, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I don't want you to be gray. I want you to be hot. I wish you was hot or cold, but because you're gray, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. It says that in him there is no shadow of turning. There is no hint of him having gray. He's the father of lights. Okay? Not even a shadow of turning. And this is what he's asking you to do. Because you must remember that the reason that you are not consumed, the reason that you don't lose, is because he is the Lord that does not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercies that you are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. See, he's asking you to participate in the victory by having a settled word. In the midst of everything that happens in our lives, one thing remains the same, and that thing is the peace of God. His peace, just like his word, is forever settled. Remember, we start from victory. We're not trying to go find victory. Victory is ours. The promise of peace is found both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And this promise of peace must be activated in our lives in the trial. If I'm going to look for, just get this so we can see it. If I'm going to look for the key to the car when I'm in an emergency trying to get away from the place I'm in, I'm not going to do too good, Emma. I'm going to lose all kind of time looking for the car, the keys to the car. I'm going to look over the thing because pressure blinds us, doesn't it? Amen. Pressure brings complications, and anything that brings complications causes me not to see the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. See, his word is not hard, grievous, the Bible says. See, it's supposed to be easy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So that I should spend time hearing the word prior to the trial so that I can respond on my way. I'm saying this exactly how I hear it, so that I can respond accurately on my way out of the trial. If I haven't trained prior to the trial, I'm going to stay in the trial longer because now I've got to get trained so that I can move. If I prepare before the trial, I'll hear he'll say things like, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Walk the way he walks." Hear him. But I haven't spent time in the word, letting the word be settled, so therefore I have no reference point of how to get out. I just know I need to get out. And I might even know that God's going to have to be the one that gets me out, but I don't know my next step to get out. See, if I would practice all of the time establishing the word and allowing the peace of God then to direct me, did it not say that I'm supposed to follow peace? See? But if I haven't communicated with peace, I might not do such a good job following peace. I might stand there and argue with peace because I think peace is not going to provide victory. I might think that peace makes me look like a weak man. Looks like they're running over me. Looks like I'm going to be abused. But see, if I would establish my heart in peace, I would hear, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." As soon as I can identify the weapon, the way I like to look at that, as soon as I can identify the weapon, it cannot grow anymore. No weapon that's formed shall prosper. It will not increase. It will not grow. As soon as I can identify that this was the weapon that was formed. The weapon that was formed is not going to be a flesh and blood weapon, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And if I'm mad at this one or that one, then I'm wrestling against flesh and blood. If I would allow peace to be in my heart, then God would tell me exactly what the root of the thing was. And as soon as I get the revelation of the thing, whatever the weapon is, it cannot grow any further. I've given you a way that you can just go ahead and stop the whole thing from happening. See? I've given you ways that you can just get out of the problem that you were in by not trying to take it personally, but allowing the peace that's already resident. See, that's what I guess we don't do. We don't develop the peace that God has called us to. When you answer the phone, then you can talk to the person that's on the other end. Is that correct? Well, he called you unto peace. answer the phone, and now you can talk to him about peace. In peace. Okay? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. Some interesting things I just want you to see in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Starting at verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light shines. Please notice this. I want you to just look at what happened here. This scripture is talking about or referencing a people that have seen not just a light, a great light. Please give me an understanding. Why are they walking in darkness if they've seen a great light? Why are they dwelling in they that dwell? This is active. Is that correct? It didn't say they that used to dwell. This is they that dwell in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them has the light shine. I love the word upon. I like a lot of compound words. But upon means it comes from the inside and then goes down over you. It comes up and then on. So then my deliverance comes the same way. It comes out of my belly, flow rivers of living water. See, it comes up and then on. I'm trying to just get it to be on. Well, if it's not in, it can't come up. Therefore, it cannot go on. Do you see the steps? See, the word has to abide in you. See? Because then I'll reach for that. And as I reach for that, victory is already guaranteed because he sent his word, and the reason he sent his word was to deliver you and to heal you from all of your destructions. But it needs to come up and then on. See? It says that they were, listen at this, they dwelt in the land of the shadow of death. They didn't dwell in a dead land. This was a land that only had a shadow of death. You know, people will say all the time, the shadow of a dog ain't never bit you. You can see the dog barking in the shadow, but the shadow has no possible way to bite you, to inflict pain upon you. But we are reacting and responding to the shadow of bad things. I mean, right now we're going through this whole thing with the coronavirus, and we give it more power than it will ever have over us. Is it real? Does it affect people that they love? But see, they that know their God, those are the ones that's going to be strong. Those are the ones that's going to do exploits. So I'm not telling you, you know, just go and quote scripture. If it's not in your heart in abundance, find another approach of victory. I'm not going to be mad at you. God's not going to be mad at you. He gave you paths. Acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. See? God's not willing that any should perish, but he wants them to come to the knowledge of God. Your ultimate victory would be through the knowledge of God. But if you have not purposed to put that in your heart, amen. Go to the avenues that you've had confidence in while you begin to hear the word over and over again. See? I mean, it's very simple. God doesn't, he does not promote condemnation. Therefore, I will not promote condemnation. I'm not going to look at you funny because you're doing what you believe. Amen. Please do that. Don't try to do what I believe. That'll never work for you. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They came and said, we adjure you by this Jesus that Paul preaches. Come after man. Next thing you know, the Bible says, and they, the spirits that was in the man, made the man leave wounded and naked. Well, he tried to live in someone else's revelation. I'm not asking you to do that. No, not at all. I'm asking you to know that there is a revelation. The peace of God can take you to the place where you can allow that word to be settled on the inside of you. And then from that settled word, you can achieve the victory that's been promised to you. You're not trying to walk out my victory. That is bondage to you. Well, I'll help you out with this. One of the reasons it would be bondage to you, because it's my victory, meant for my life. Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. See? He's given to every man the measure of faith. Why are you trying to think about walking in the faith of another? I did not say walking in conjunction with the faith. That's a whole different place. Because we're supposed to appropriate promises with those that have obtained like precious faith. Okay, hear that. He said those that have obtained like precious faith, not those that have obtained faith for you. You do see a difference there, right? They have faith that you can follow the same way they walk down the path of faith. You can follow whose faith follow. I get that. It's necessary. See, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, let me take you to Christ. It's going to require you doing it. You walking it out in your spirit. Because if you don't walk in your spirit, walk it out in your spirit, you don't possess it. Remember what he told Joshua? He said, everywhere that the soles of your feet tread, I've given it to you. He did not say, every place that the soles of Stevie's feet tread, I've given it to you. No, he said, your feet have to walk in this promise. You have to sojourn in the land of promise. And you do that prior to the attack that's going to come to steal the word. The attack only comes to steal the word. Then if you know the attack is coming, learn how to walk in the word, and you'll be able to do exactly what Jesus did. That's what he's asking us to do. He resisted the devil and said, no, it is written. He's walking in it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm walking in that word that came out of God's mouth to me, to my spirit, to cause peace in my spirit. And the devil tried something else, and Jesus came back with, it is written. He continued to progress in the word, walk in the word. Devil came back and said, well, let's try this way. And Jesus again said, it is written. So then the devil said, you know what? He just going to walk by the word. And it said, and the devil left him for a season. Glory to God. That's allowing the word to be settled in your spirit. It doesn't matter what the circumstance. Well, I'm hungry. It doesn't matter. There is a promise from God that speaks to me being hungry and not connected to food at the time I'm hungry. I don't give up the word that I have in my heart for some bread. You do remember that's what Esau did. You remember that? For a morsel of bread, for a thing of soup, a serving of soup, he sold his birthright. And then after he sold it, he tried to get the birthright back by crying and tears. But he couldn't. Why? Because it was not important to him. Something else had more value. Something else kept that word from being settled on the inside of him. That this is the only thing that's going to bring victory in my life. This is the only thing that I'm going to hold on to. See, in order for you to have a peace that abides, you're going to have a word that is settled. See, you cannot be questioning the word and then expecting the questions that you have to resolve themselves. You do remember what it says in the book of James, that if a man is double-minded in all of his ways, this double-minded man, this man with questions, he's unstable, and he will not, don't even let that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. See? God says, I need for you to be settled. I need for you to have preordained steps that you've already positioned your heart. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And as I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I purpose that I'm just going to walk in the Word of God, because the Word of God is settled and it settles me. The Word of God produces peace so that I can then, by peace, put the devil under my feet. It says the God of peace will bruise Satan under your heel shortly. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. See, so if I don't have peace, if I'm not settled, if I'm a person with questions and I have more questions than I have answers, answers are my response to the circumstances. If I don't have answers, I will not have the proper response to the circumstances. See? When I have answers, then I command things to be and they will be. I speak truth because it's settled on the inside. That's why Jesus said, have the faith of God, Mark 11, 22 and following, have the faith of God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I can cause things that are settled on the inside of me to be brought to pass in my life. If I don't have a settled word, then I'm not going to enjoy a settled life. Come on, y'all, just look at it. If I don't have a settled word, I will not enjoy a settled life. My life will be up and down, tumultuous, because I don't have a settled word. A settled word gives me the response in the trial. The settled word does not remove the trial. Please know this. Look at this. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the response that I have for the trouble. These people were dwelling in the shadow of death, even though they had been exposed to light. See? Can you see yourself in that same condition, position, problem? You've already come out of darkness and have been brought into the kingdom of his dear son. And yet we will still dwell in the shadow of the valley of death. We'll live there. Light has come. It has shined. And you dwell in a different place. Let's just look at what happened. The people that walked in darkness, they had seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. These people, they multiplied the nation. They had a bunch of people that were connected to them. But they did not increase the joy. Numbers does not necessarily equate to joy. These people had numbers. They multiplied the nation. But they did not increase the joy. They use joy this way. They joy before the Lord according to the joy in harvest. When things are finished, when things are over, that's when they begin to joy. If you are settled in the Word of God, you can joy, have rejoicing Okay, according to Philippians chapter 4, you can rejoice in the Lord when? Yes, always. And again, you can rejoice in the Lord. If I don't have this word settled, I'm going to think that the trial is moving me. When actually all the trial is doing is proving me. It's not supposed to move me. I'm supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, it's not supposed to move me. Circumstances are supposed to prove that I'm going to be the one standing. Well, I'll even say it that way. That's the way it says it in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, having done all to stand, you will be standing therefore. For you have on the whole armor of God. You see, if I got the thing settled in me, if peace is the thing supporting me, then I don't have to move. In fact, it's so promised that if I settle myself in the word of God, I will not even have to fight. Because the battle's not man, the battle's the Lord. Stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord your God with you. You will not need to fight in this battle. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Come on, y'all. I mean, that's what's written for you. See? But we only use the joy according to the people, the way they use it in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You're not supposed to wait till the trial is over to shout. You know, we're supposed to be those that live. If we've got a breath, the Bible says, we're supposed to release a praise. Not when we see the end of the thing, we wait to praise. No, okay, just so that we can hear it. Let everything that hath breath. The breath was there before the trial. The breath was there during the trial. And if you use the breath that he gave you before the trial, then you'll be able to have breath after the trial. I didn't say you couldn't ever praise after the trial. But if I read Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, it says that in the thing, in everything, I'm supposed to give thanks. In the thing, not after the thing is over. If you wait till after the thing is over, then it's probably going to be lasting longer because the victory was given to you at the very beginning. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Please understand, only comes means he's not there for any other reason but to take what's already yours. He only comes to steal. He cannot steal what you do not have. Just because you don't know that you have it does not mean he cannot steal it. Amen. You're just unaware that it is now missing. You weren't using it anyway. It was not part of the arsenal that you understood as yours. When you hear the word, the Bible says immediately the devil comes to steal away that which was sown in your heart. He didn't say that which is going to be sown. He said that which was sown. That means it's yours. Learning how to use it, that's a whole nother thing. But you can begin to learn to seal it by the Spirit of God. You can learn to do that. And one of the ways to seal it is to seal it with the peace of God that passes your understanding. Did you hear that? The peace of God goes beyond what you understand. The peace of God operates in the spirit realm where faith is. So then you can receive it by faith. Seal it then by the peace that's already yours. When the word came, it produced faith. Simultaneously, it produced peace. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace. They are synonymous and interchangeable. They have different manifestations and uses, but they all came at the same time. The fruit of the Spirit is. It didn't say the fruit of the Spirit is first love And then, and I didn't say that. It said the fruit of the Spirit is. And then it delineated what the fruit of the Spirit is. Your hand has multiple digits on it, multiple fingers on it, but they still comprise your hand. I can use my thumb and my first finger and pick things up easier. Or I could try to be cute and use my little finger and my last finger to try to pick it up with my hand. It's my option, isn't it? Wisdom would say use your thumb and your first finger. Then you can use, all right, let's do keep on going with the hand. Then you can use your second, third, or fourth finger for support and additional strength to hold on to it. See? But the fruit of the Spirit is, the hand is my thumb and four fingers. It's not the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then after love, no. It's they work simultaneously. See? So peace is necessary to allow the fruit of the Spirit to bring into your life the thing you need. Again, faith is inclusive in the fruit of the Spirit. So you can see how they intertwine and work together as one. And I guess sometimes we want to just work peace. No, you should work the hand. See? Use all of them. Then when you get to the point where you use the one hand, you know what God did for you? He gave you two. Glory to God. He gave you more than enough to get the job done when you use it accurately. He asks questions. Is the whole body an eye? No, it's not. He meant for it to be used in unison, in concert. See, I'm trying to give you a word that will just simply settle you so that you will know that, okay, victory is guaranteed. How I come to victory, oh, that's a whole nother place. Because I'm trying to just use one of the fruit of the Spirit and make that work. No. The fruit of the Spirit is. Okay? I'm just trying to get you to see that sometimes we do things from a perspective that does not allow victory to flow into our hearts. We'll try and try and try and then come away with, this don't work. Why would we come up there? Because we are dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. You know, any place that you and God are, the majority has just showed up. Amen. Amen. God's the one that made promise to you personally. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So whenever God and you show up, the majority is now present. The more you get to agree with you, the more you get to support you. That's just a quicker way for you to get out of frustrations. But when you showed up with God, the majority is present. Watch this. It says that you only rejoice when the thing is over. And through that process, you did not increase joy. Why did he say you should be able to do this? Verse 4. For God has already, past tense, broken the yoke of his burden. Wow. He's already done that. Let's look at what else he's already done. He's already taken the staff of his shoulders. Now, the reason why that was important, see, your the burden that you run into here would be one of the way you think. If the devil can convince you to agree with him, then you are yoked together with him. Any place of agreement is a place that the yoke will be strengthened. That's why Jesus asks us to take his yoke upon you. Agree with him. Then he will assist in your deliverance. But if you are yoked, having the thoughts that you shouldn't have, don't you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that we're supposed to cast down all these thoughts, bring every thought into captivity until that thought is obedience to Christ? Cast down imaginations or things that would exalt itself above the word, above the knowledge of God. Things that tell you repeatedly that you can't, that you won't, that it's not for you because of. And you agree with that, you are now yoked together with the enemy. And God says he has already broken the yoke off his burden. He's already done that. He's already taken the staff off of the shoulder. And when I saw that, I can see the picture, if you would. A staff is an elongated piece of wood. And if I have a staff on my shoulders, my turning now becomes more difficult, doesn't it? Because as I turn, I'm going to run into things, aren't I? Old habits, stinking thinking, unforgiveness, hurts and pain. I'm going to turn, and as I try to turn to get out of this mess, I'm going to continue to hit those things that cause me to now give up and stay in the mess. Okay, I'm trying to get you to understand you have a settled word, but God has already done this. The thing that connected you to the enemy, how about that? The Bible tells us that we're supposed to resist the devil, and most of the times we find ourselves assisting the devil. See? We shouldn't do that. We should just go and say, you know what? No, I'm going to do what God has told me to do. I'm going to resist him. I'm going to come away from him. So then the staff, the thing that would stop me from being able to repent, the thing that would make my turning more difficult, he's already broken that from off the shoulders. And he said, those two things, the way I'm thinking, and the thing that stops me from maneuvering correctly, he said those two things are the rod of the oppressor. Wow. He uses those two things, the way that I think, and my seeming inability to turn away from that, because I keep running into things. He says the devil uses those things as the rod of his oppression. Verse 5, for every battle of the warrior is confused with noise. Look at what the devil uses. He uses confusion and noise. Okay. Confusion and noise. Again, the way I think and the way the people that have been accustomed to being in my life, the way they talk. See, if I'm going to achieve victory by the word of God, I'm going to have to do what it says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing one thing and one thing only, the word of God. Not the word of confused counsel. Because confused counsel, even though they might mean well, even though they might have seen this from this perspective and had understanding in it from that perspective, the word of God elevates me above a perspective. That's why he says he's made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world which is to come. He doesn't want me to be meandering around other people's thoughts for my life. He needs every man to be fully persuaded in his own mind. So if I go back and deal with the word and allow that word that was sent to heal me, allow that word to be settled in my spirit. Get to the place where it really doesn't matter what they say. I'll give you this testimony. I remember, it's been a while. It's been a long while now. But I was, for some reason, my right hand came under a grand attack. I mean, I couldn't do anything with it. It hurt to pick it up, and doing anything else was just a tear-wrenching experience. And so I was learning to settle my heart in that by his stripes I am healed. I was learning to settle my heart in that. That it did not matter what the attack was, my confession, understanding, my profession, everything that I'm going to function under is by his stripes I am healed. And so I was standing at a door, trying to hit in the door, and I lifted up my hand. Well, again, I told you when I moved it, it was painful. Then to try to use it was twice as painful. I stood at that door, and I said, no, this is it, devil. I'm making a stand right here. We ain't going to move. We're going to get this done. I'm not going to be confused about this. This pain is not going to confuse me. My spirit speaks, and my spirit determines what happens in my life, not the pain that I'm going through. So I grabbed my right hand with my left hand to try to settle the thing. Tears running down my both cheeks. I'm in excruciating pain. And so I said, no, by his stripes, I am healed. If I am healed because he said I was healed, then I am the one that uses this hand. I'm not the one that ignores this hand and uses my other hand because it's not under attack. No, he gave me two hands. And I'm going to use both of them at will when I want to. So I'm standing there. I stood at that door quoting scripture and crying for a half hour. I hadn't opened the door at all. I'm just fighting through, settling in my spirit. This has to be a settled word. This is not a mobile word. This is a settled word. I'm making a decision that what he said is true. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I'm looking at. It doesn't matter what I haven't been able to do. His word is settled. It's settled in my spirit. A healed man uses the hand that's already been healed. Me and God are sealing this in my spirit. I'm telling the devil, this is the way this is going to go. A half hour. And then I went to say, okay, well, a healed man uses this, so I'm going to use it. Pain and all, you will not stop me. You will have to move because I'm going to go through this door. As soon as I had that thing settled in my heart and I turned 1/8 of an inch, the door got, whole thing broke. Pain gone. Never saw that pain again in my entire life. All I was doing was settling that word in my heart. I am a man of faith. He's given unto me the measure of faith, and the measure of faith works in every situation, and this is the victory that overcomes. I have overcoming faith. I don't have faith that's on the run. I have overcoming faith. I will stand and utilize my faith, for he does not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly, and I'm going to walk upright in his promise. I'm going to walk upright in the faith that he gave me, and I will utilize this hand. Soon as that door knob moved, over. And so then I said, okay, there it is. I see what you're saying, Lord. I see what you're doing. I have to be willing to address my own thinking. Because my thinking was that if I'm experiencing pain, I cannot be experiencing healing. No, what I was experiencing is an attempt at robbery. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot steal what I do not have. See, I settled that. And I said, no. My emotions will not determine what happens in my life. The word of God, that's my path. That's where I walk. That's where I live. If his word abides in me and I abide in his word, then I can ask what I will and it shall be given me. I begin to put pressure on the thing that was on the inside so that I can cause it to come up on me. It had to work through all of my flesh responses. But as soon as I got that done, and suddenly, it was over. And so, like I say, all the rest of my life, I've been turning doorknobs and going indoors. Never had to have this fight again. Never even had to have this conversation again. Every battle of the warrior is confused with noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be burning. This shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Then he makes promises. See, this is one of the things that I love about God, is that in the midst of a trial, there's always going to be another promise. And if I would learn to listen to the promise, I'll get out of the trial quicker. These people that had seen a great light, that was sitting, that walked in the darkness, these people that dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, they had a light shine unto them. Verse 6 says, because for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is another one of those places that it did not separate. It used all as one. It says, and his name shall be called. It did not say, and he shall have the names of. He said, and his name shall be called. Multifaceted. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name shall not be called Counselor. His name shall not be called Wonderful. His name shall not be called the Mighty God. His name shall not be called the Everlasting Father. His name shall not be called the Prince of Peace only. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Same way the fruit of the Spirit is, his name shall be called. What that does is that gives us the pressure that we need in any situation. If we need wisdom, we call on wisdom. Power, we call on power. Endurance, we call on endurance. Peace, we call on peace. God, every time, for every battle that you go through, God is this way. He gives you more than enough. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Not have it limitedly, but have it more abundantly. You'll have more than you need to win every time, all the time. God battles fear this way. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but one, love, two, power, three, a sound mind. One thing that the devil's bringing, three things God brings. Why? Because when he comes on the scene, he is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He shows up. Okay, don't you remember how he was introducing himself to Abraham? He said, I am. Tell him, I am sent you. He didn't give one name. He gave I am. What is my name? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You remember even when he was dealing with Moses, and he said, okay, good, I want you to understand me a different way. Y'all have only known me by Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. I want you to know that now I'm going to move by my name Jehovah. See? He said, I'm going to expand your understanding of me. I'm not just the Mighty God. I'm not just the Wonderful Counselor. I'm not just the Everlasting Father. I'm not just the Prince of Peace. What's my name? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Yeah, I know it's a mouthful. And it gets even more when we talk about the New Testament. Jesus came, and he was introduced as Emmanuel, which is God with us. But we go even further than that. In the book of Revelation, it says that his name shall be called the Word of God. Glory to God. I just threw Genesis to Revelation at it. Because his name shall be called the Word of God. Whew. I mean, goodness gracious, huh? See, you have more than enough to win, but it has to be a settled word. See, because without it being a settled word, then you're going to go into the battle, and the noise of confusion will cause you to think that all of a sudden you cannot win. All of that pain was a noise of confusion in my arm. And I had to push through the noise and hear the promise that he is the wonderful counselor, almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whichever one I asked for in my heart, that name responds to. And he says in verse 7, and because this is my name, I will have an increase of the government, the things I rule by, and the peace. And there shall be no end to this peace. See, this is how I have a settled word. It's no end to it. I cannot get to the place where that name, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, will not be able to address and cause it. Well, that's good. I hadn't thought about it. It says that there will be an increase of the way he governs. All of those things, wonderful counselor, almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is an explanation of the government of God. And he said, it will increase. So do you need more of God? It's okay. There will be an increase. It never ends. See? These are the things that we have to begin to think about, in particular now with Corona 19. See, was it? I can't think of it now. I thought about it as a joke. See, I think of things kind of funny. I just can't help it. So they call it what, the number 19? Corona 19? I can't remember what it was. Coronavirus, and it was another word. COVID, there it is, COVID-19, they use that as a name. But you know what I think of? Because the name of Jesus is above every name. But I tell you what, you can also take all the 19 manifestations of time it took you to get here, and I'm going to give you the one Jesus. You give me 19 issues, I'm going to give you the one Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. COVID-19, here, meet the man Christ Jesus. Meet the one and only, the true God, the true and living God. COVID-19 has no ability to win when I have a sure word, a settled word. That's what we want to deal with, is a word that's settled, a word that's confirmed, a God word. But again, the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you to display his grace, to display his mercy, to display his loving kindness, to display his peace. Because the God that we serve, the God that we love, he has given us a name that causes us to know how we should win, how we should stand. The name that is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The name that is more than enough, El Shaddai. This is the God that we serve. We don't serve an insufficient God, a God that's not relevant. We serve a God that's looking over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. Approach your trials by using the name that's above every name, a name that causes every other name to bow. Enjoy victory, because he always causes you to triumph and gives you the victory. He wants us to be settled, unmovable, and always abound in the work of the Lord. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we do bless you for all that you have done and are doing in our heart, in our midst, causing our understanding to be enlightened so that we can represent and release your power in the earth, in every situation, in every circumstance, so that there will be an understanding that there is a God in the earth today, moving by his Spirit and bringing victory to those that love him. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if you have any questions, then we'll turn it over for questions and comments about the ministry. So I'll give the mic to area code 404-453-2953. Area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Any questions that you might have? Amen. Well, we thank you for being on the call, and we'll give area code 678-237-8529. You have the mic. Any questions or comments?
I just want to say thank you for tonight's word. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you for tonight's word. It was really, really good. I think I have like 5 pages of notes because I was writing everything down. But it was just refreshing to hear what you were saying. And then when you broke down how the enemy uses the two things, it never really clicked to me like that. I know, you know, he's always attacking your mind. But then to see the connection with your mind and your emotions and how your emotions cause reactions, I mean, it was eye-opening for me because I was like, that's true, that's true. So I was on a roll taking notes, and I'm just so excited because, you know, when you do believe in God, there is no failure.
Amen.
So thank you. I just want to say thank you.
Amen.
I'm every time I talk to you, so I appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Again, that is what we're here for. Our job in Fivefold Ministry is to perfect the saints. And we can only enhance what you already have. You know, we're not the ones that give birth to you. We are the ones that perfect what God has already birthed in you. And so when you understand that and you let the word of God be settled, then the next step, and I'll try to get to the next step, is a confirmed word. Because God is going to do that. The Bible says that Jesus worked with them, confirming the word. And how did he confirm the word? With signs following. If you have a settled word, I want you to hear me. I'm already preaching next week. If you have a settled word, you can then expect a word of confirmation. Hallelujah. The way I can see that right now is if you have a settled word, you can expect a word that will cause you to break out because he's the Lord of the breakthrough. Amen. See, when you get a word that is settled, you enter back into the place where he called you. When he made Adam, he did not make Adam with limitations. Adam was made in the image of God. That means he was made without limitations. You can see how powerful the connection was because he asked Adam to name all of the animals, and then you got to think about there are over 6 million insects. and Adam named them all. I tell y'all, I mean, you got to get, see, that's an unlimited resource. I'll do it better, I'm sorry. That's an unlimited source. Everything else is a resource. God is our source. Everything else is a resource. And Adam was connected to God, made after his image, after his likeness, made without limitations. Amen. So that'd be kind of like a teaser for next week. That's what we're going to try to get to. So, again, I'd like to thank you for joining the call here on Blog Talk Radio, livedeliverance.com. And if the Lord is laying on your heart to sow a seed in this ministry, go ahead and do so, because that's how we stay on the air. That's how we're able to minister to you every week to strengthen you so that we can wrap this thing up. You do recognize that we don't get to wrap it up until we look like him. He's coming back for a church that does not have spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. He's not coming for a defeated church. He's coming for a triumphant church. And so we have to begin to practice the word of God in every area of our life. We can no longer let unforgiveness lord over us. We're going to have to practice walking in love. Amen. Amen. So until next week, I want you to just be blessed in the Lord. And I'll say to you, Shalom.